Hello, friends, and welcome to Out of This World Radio with your host, Ted Marr, broadcasting from the studios of KKNW on 1150 AM, broadcasting live from Bellevue, just outside Seattle in the United States. I want to thank everyone so much for your beautiful support, because Out of This World Radio, we're all helping, is listener-supported, and we're all helping to make this planet a much better and happier place. The purpose of this program is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place, and I know that with everyone's help, we can and will make this world a much better place. I want to thank everyone so much for making Out of This World Radio one of the most popular talk shows in the Seattle area and the fastest growing metaphysical and spiritual radio program in the world, with over 160,000 listeners in over 70 countries. Before we start, I'd like to thank everyone's support for this program, because Out of This World Radio is a nonprofit program supported entirely by donations. And for those who'd like to donate, please go to the donate button at the upper right-hand corner of the program webpage at www.outofthisworld1150.com. And I appreciate your support so much. During the first hour, I'll be discussing my Galactic Wisdom Conference that was held last week in Olympia, Washington. And my next Galactic Wisdom Conference will be held at the same location, Olympia, Washington, from April 12th to the 16th, 2019. For more information, you can see our website at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. For those who missed it, we did record the proceedings last week. And if you're interested, please send me an email. All the proceedings are available for a very reasonable fee. And my email is outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. Or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793 or toll free at 1-888-879-8339. During the second hour, I'll be interviewing a fantastic lady named Dr. Helena Steiner Horstein. She's an amazing and very talented psychic and artist, and she just published the best-selling book, White Light, The Limitless Reality. I hope you'll enjoy listening to her beautiful interview. I want to thank everyone's support so much for supporting Out of This World Radio. And I also have a new television program called Out of This World TV, which broadcasts three times a week on Mondays, Wednesdays, and Saturdays on Channel 22 in the Seattle area. It's available on YouTube, either under my name, Ted Marr, or Out of This World. There are now something like over 55 episodes available on YouTube, and I hope you enjoy them. I want to thank everyone around the world who supported the program, including Marku from Finland, Jan Rossini from California for her wonderful support, Anita Curtis from Dublin, Ireland, Dorothy from Montreal, Jason and his family in North Vancouver, British Columbia, and as well as Mary and Elias Neuschwanger from Costa Rica. Also, I want to thank the Crystal Voyage Spiritual Center in Tacoma. We're also looking for sponsors and advertisers for the show, and in any advertising on the program, we'll have a worldwide audience for your goods and services. I also like to thank my dear friend Carol, who's been signing my website and providing wonderful support, and my friends in the Galactic Alliance who've been supporting my show, my angelic and earthly family, and KKNW, without whose help and support this program would not be possible. I also have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people how to contact their angels and spirit guides. And if you'd like to get in touch with your loved ones who have passed on, or contact your angelic guides and get some good spiritual advice, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com. I wanted to tell you also that I'm having a special wine and spirits program at the beautiful Hopeland Hotel right on the Pacific Ocean on March 30th and 31st. It's the end of this month. The Tokeland Hotel is changing hands on April 4th, and this will be one of the last events at the hotel until they're taken over by new management. The cost for for a night at the hotel for this wine and spirits event is only $35 and includes free wine. Free wine provided by myself and the Tokeland Hotel. I bought over a case recently of Italian red and white wine, and so you can drink your spirits, and also we'll be able to talk to spirits as well. If you're interested in coming for that weekend, please give the Tokeland Hotel and talk to Catherine at area code 206-755-8515. That's 206-755-8515. I'd like to go over briefly what happened during our conference during the last couple of weeks. It was an amazing conference, and the amazing thing that I really liked about it is that it had this is my fourth year doing this, and it had the highest vibration of all the conferences I've had since 2014. One of the people there giving a presentation was Professor Jerry Pollack at the University of Washington. He's one of the world's most famous water scientists. And one of the interesting points that he made, Professor Pollack made, was that if you think about it, there's been no groundbreaking discoveries in our science here in the United States or the Western world since the discovery of the atomic bomb in 1945 and the discovery of the double helix in the DNA structure by Francis and Crick at Cambridge University in England in 1952. And he was saying that there have been discoveries, but so many of them have been hidden from the public. They've either gone into the secret space program or just simply hidden from people, including free energy. And you think about it, 1952, when Francis and Crick discovered the DNA structures, the code for our genetic makeup at Cambridge University, that was something like, 70 years ago? And obviously, we have better cell phones today and better televisions, but no major scientific breakthroughs have been released to the public since that time. That's one of the reasons why Professor Pollack has what he calls an Institute for Venture Science, where he funds and encourages new scientific research in all fields across the board. And if you're interested in that, please contact me and I'll put you in touch with Professor Pollack. That's one of the reasons why he started his Institute for Venture Science. During the conference last week, I also had Michiko Hayashi of the Modal Peace Project and a famous Hado instructor from Tokyo named Seiichiro Yoshinuchi. He's also called Yoshi as well. That's his short name. It's easier for English speakers just to say Yoshi rather than pronounce his Japanese name. But one of the things that Dr. Emoto found was that we're all vibration, or what he called in Japanese Hado. And if you have a problem like you suffer from depression, for example, or a particular kind of illness, they can help diagnose a treatment for that and really help people out. Dr. Emoto, before he passed away on October 17th, 2014, he successfully treated about 10,000 people with his special Hado machines. And both Michiko Hayashi and Seiichiro Yoshinuchi were here giving people what they call Hado sessions last week. They'll be returning to Olympia, Washington at my next Hado, or at my next Galactic Wisdom Conference on April 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th. And so we were completely sold out, filled up of people that wanting the Hado treatments. So if you are interested, please send me an email. I can certainly register you early for it if you like. The other person that I really enjoyed having at the conference was a fellow named Dr. Kyra Rocha from the Bahamas. He's a famous naturopathic doctor who's well known throughout the United States and Canada for his alternative medicine. His background's a very interesting background. He's an expert in acupuncture. He actually used to have an acupuncture school in Brazil. He's also an expert in feng shui, or the science of different energy methods in Chinese medicine. He knows ancient Buddhist healing techniques from interning with Tibetans in northern India back in the late 80s. He's also an expert in homeopathy, and he's a wonderful man, a very, very kind and benevolent doctor who came and shared his wisdom with us. He'll be coming back again next year for our next year's conference. Simon Parks gave a wonderful presentation. Simon, of course, is a contactee of various extraterrestrial races. He himself admits that his soul has three parts. It has a human part, one-third is a human part, one-third is a praying mantis, insectoid part, and the third part is actually reptilian. And Simon said that when he was a young boy, he was given a choice of either going with the reptilians in a negative way or going with the humans and the praying mantis in the insectoids, going in a positive way for our planet. He chose the positive way, and so now he gives us a lot of positive messages. He also said one thing I thought was very interesting. He said that the timeline for evolution on this planet had been moved up by several years, and that within 5 years that we would be able to communicate telepathically, and we would be moving into the fifth dimension. By the year, he also said that by the year 2025, that this process would be completely done. This has been confirmed by my contacts in the spirit world that our evolution has greatly accelerated during the past 5 and 10 years. There's a very interesting set of books that was written by Dolores Cannon, a wonderful American psychic back in the late 1980s. She took a group of about 15 to 20 different psychic students, and they meditated, and then they all went back to the 15th and 16th centuries when Nostradamus was alive, and they received messages from Nostradamus on how his quatrain should have been interpreted at that time, late 80s. And there's a series of books, it's a three-volume set called Conversations with Nostradamus, in which case they detail his predictions for the future of humanity back from the perspective of the late 1980s. And these books are still in print by Ozark Mountain Press in Arkansas. And you can still get them at Amazon, I believe. But anyway, those predictions said that the United States would be getting into a third world war through Bosnia starting in about 1993 and 1994. We did get involved to a limited extent in Bosnia, in that war with military aid that Clinton authorized back then. But fortunately, Nostradamus tells me that because people's consciousness has been rising ever since that time, and most people want to create a beautiful planet, we didn't get engulfed in a nuclear war. And that's a very good point, because one of the things Nostradamus said in his predictions back in the late 1980s is that by the year 2005 to 2008, 2010, many American cities would have felt the destruction of bombs going off in their cities and complete and total destruction. Well, the last time I checked, Los Angeles is still intact, New York is still functioning, Miami's still there, Chicago is still there, Seattle is still a beautiful city, Vancouver is still there, and we're all still going along just fine, and there's been no World War III. And what Nostradamus has told me from the other side is that the future is like a timeline, and because we as humanity made the right choices for a beautiful and better planet, we're not going to now have a World War III where much of the planet is going to be destroyed. So at any rate, I want you all to keep in mind that. And I find Simon Parks a fascinating gentleman. He's a wonderful man, and I'm so happy that he gave a presentation at my conference. I've invited him back actually next year, and so he will be coming back. The other person we had was Sidney Kirkpatrick of the Edgar Cayce Foundation. Sidney is a famous author. He wrote a book a few years ago on Edgar Cayce. It's a fantastic book. I read the book myself. And we were very fortunate to have Sidney give a beautiful presentation on Edgar Cayce's life and his readings. Did you know that the Edgar Cayce Foundation in Virginia has thousands and thousands of his readings on various health topics? And if, for example, if you're a man and you have you're losing hair, you can look up Edgar Cayce's remedies for hair loss in the Edgar Cayce Library in Virginia, and those readings are available for us today. It's like Edgar Cayce speaking to us beyond the grave, because those remedies still work today, according to Sidney Kirkpatrick. And so he gave a wonderful presentation, and that his presentation was followed by the North American premiere of a movie called Readings by Tetsushiro Tori. Tetsushiro Tori is Japan's most famous spiritual movie producer, and believe it or not, Tetsu just produced the world's first full-length film on Edgar Cayce, and I was privileged to show that film for the first time here in North America at my conference last weekend. We also had Judy Calley, a famous psychic, bring in all kinds of wonderful spirits in a Skype presentation from her home in Los Angeles. We had Carolyn White, who will be coming on in about 10 minutes to talk about the conference as well. We had Teresa Carroll, who's a fantastic psychic and a healer, give a presentation. And one of the people who I really like is Robbie Holtz. Robbie Holtz lives in the Anacortes area north of Seattle. She lived with the Australian Aborigines, both her and her husband did, before her husband passed away years ago. And the Aborigines taught her their healing techniques on how to heal various illnesses. And she now does that for people from a spiritual perspective here in the Washington and across the United States and Canada and around the world. And I was so happy to have her on. Tony Rodriguez gave a presentation by Skype. Tony was in the 20-year secret space program. He had an incredible tale of his experiences in that program, and I really enjoyed having him on, and I appreciated him so much. We also had Josh and Adam Biggleson. They are called what I call the Blood Brothers. They're the sons of Dr. Harvey Biggleson. Dr. Harvey Biggleson did the same thing that Dr. Moto did with water, but they did it with blood. And they did it, what they would do is take someone's blood and they would analyze it with an electron microscope. And through their analysis, they could help determine what was what a person's physical or sometimes emotional problem might be, or what a problem might develop in the future. And they would help diagnose their problem so they could seek competent medical attention. But it's amazing the kind of work they do. And they're doing that work now here in the Northwest. And they gave a presentation, which I always enjoy their work. Emmanuel Eiter, Emmanuel sent me several of his films, including Shamanic Trek and The Cure. The Cure is a spiritual film on spiritual healing. And actually, I'm in his film. And so if you're able to watch it, we did play it during the conference. And it's, what's funny is that when we showed the film on March 10th, Emmanuel was also showing it for the first time in Mexico City that day as well. So we were both giving it. I was giving the first premiere, the first run in the United States, and he was giving it the first run in Mexico. One of the people as well, a new person came to my conference named Tom Palladino. Now, during the last couple days, Tom and I were up in Vancouver. Tom was on a radio show, CFRO 100.5 FM, in downtown Vancouver on Thursday night. We both were, and he does what's called scalar energy healing. And people may say, well, what's scalar energy healing? This is from Nikola Tesla. And what Tom does, his machines go into the fifth dimension. It goes into the higher dimensions. And he'll take someone's picture. And I know this sounds like science fiction, but bear with me for a moment. He'll take someone's picture, or he also treats animals too, like a cat or a dog. And he'll run it through his machine. And the machine will then determine what can be done to help this particular person if they have pathogens or they're ill. And the machine itself will go into the fifth dimension and disassemble those viruses and pathogens so that they become healthy. And he's been able to help people with HIV and all kinds of illnesses. He's been very successful at it. And he currently has a 15-day program where he treats people for free anywhere in the world. And if you're interested in that, please send me an email. I'll give you his contact information. But it's such a simple thing. You sign up on his website. You send him your picture, if you or a loved one or a pet, for example, and you'll run it through his program for 15 days. And people often will see immediate results. I'm so impressed with Tom. I'll be promoting him at various events coming up. There is an event coming up called the Emerald Spiral. That's on March 23rd at the Kent, or March 24th at the Kent Commons. I will probably be going, and I will be promoting his scalar energy healing there as well. The program is free, and I asked Tom. I said, "Well, how do you get by if you do this free promotion?" He says, "Ted, I just want to heal the world, and I want to do good things." So. He's got a heart of gold, and I urge you all to check it out. You can email me if you like at outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send you some more information. Some other things coming up, too, later this year, from July 2nd through the 8th, and also from September 6th through the 11th, I will be taking a small group of people to Mount Shasta and Telos. And I ask about, well, what is Telos? Telos is a Lemurian civilization. It's been there for approximately 12,500 years. It's leftovers. It's remnants of an ancient Lemurian civilization that was destroyed by the Atlanteans in a nuclear war approximately 12,500 years ago. At the time Lemuria was destroyed by the Atlanteans, the numbers they numbered about 1.3 million people. But they had a little advance notice before the Atlanteans blew them up. And they were able. The good news is that about 25,000 of them were able to escape to the caverns beneath Mount Shasta, where they have lived ever since. And they're humans like you and I are, except they exist in the fifth and higher dimensions. And Mount Shasta is one of those places where there are lots of different portals to Telos and the Hollow Earth. I myself have been to the Hollow Earth about 5 or 6 times, and I have a Telosian entity with me named Jehina, who's with me now, and she says hello to you all. There's all kinds of special portals where you can enter into Telos and the Hollow Earth. In 2016, I actually was meditating. I took a group of Koreans up with me, and they meditated, and 6 of them actually went physically into Telos. And after going to Telos, they took a shuttle system to Shambhala, which is a mythical city. It's below Greece in the Aegean Sea. And they came back after, I think, about 7 or 8 hours visiting. And then it's an amazing story. You can listen to the interviews I had with them after they just came out from Telos and Shambhala on my website at www.outofthisworld1150.com. If you go back to late September 2016, you can listen to those interviews. But there's certain spiritual protocols that you have to follow if you do go on the trip. It includes free dry camping right at the entrance to one of the main entrances to Telos and Mount Shasta. We do a lot of meditation there. One of the main things that the people of Telos and the Hollow Earth ask is that you don't eat meat. And that includes no beef and no chicken, and preferably no seafood at least 3 weeks before you go. So if you do go on the trip, you would want to stop eating meat by June 15th. I mean, it's March now, so you've got plenty of time. If you do eat meat, they say to do prayers and meditation to the animal that you're eating, and then thank the animal for giving their spirit. Native Americans the ancient cultures here in North America, anytime they killed an animal, they would contact the spirit of the animal and thank them for giving their life so they could eat them. And if you do eat meat, it's always a good idea to do the same thing now, because if you don't do it, what happens is that when an animal, for example, a cow, is killed, all that negativity goes right into that meat, so you're eating negativity. You don't realize it, but when you have a state, for example, with a cow that's been essentially killed and they're full of fear and anger, you get those emotions chemically in your body. And so but if you do a spiritual prayer and contact the spirit of the animal before you eat them, you don't get that negativity. If you're interested further, more information about that, I do have a spiritual mentoring program where I teach people a lot of spiritual things, including how they can contact their guides and guardian angels. And if you're interested in that, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, or you can call me here in the United States at 509-750-9793. And I also have a toll-free number at 1-888-879-8339. And finally, also, I'm having an Ascension Conference from August 31st to September 2nd, 2018 at Mount Shasta. It'll be at the there's a special camp near Mount Shasta, or very close to the mountain where I'll be having it. I plan to have as speakers Diane Robbins, who's been a visitor to Telos many times and has written many books on Telos and the Hollow Earth. Judy Kelly, who's also been to Telos, and she's also in contact with Adama and other wonderful spirits from the Hollow Earth. I'll also be bringing in Susan Isabel, a psychic and channel to the Hollow Earth. I have also invited Billy Fay Woodard and his father Zora to the conference. Billy Fay Woodard used to be the base commander of Area 51 in Nevada. He's not from here. He's actually from the Hollow Earth, but he's told me many times he wants to return home to the Hollow Earth. He volunteered to come down here to try to raise consciousness of humanity and make this planet a better place. I don't know whether they'll be coming because they may be returning to the Hollow Earth soon. However, he has said that if they do return to the Hollow Earth, they will be returning in a spacecraft and to give a presentation. So that'll be a pretty amazing thing to see his spacecraft land. I want to also tell you, too, that we, during the Galactic Wisdom Conference last week, we saw a lot of spacecraft flying around. They were all from the Galactic Alliance. They're very distinctive in the sky. They usually have 5 points of light, white light, with a larger white light in the middle of them. And it usually I see between 3 to 5 spacecraft flying above me. They're there for protecting me from any negative elements. If you see them during the day, sometimes they appear during the day. They will appear as a blue light, a blue tint. At nighttime, they'll either appear with a bright white light around them or a duller, dimmer white light. There's two categories of galactic spacecraft that I've seen here in the Northwest. One's called in phase, and the other one's called out of phase. If a spacecraft is in phase, then their light's very bright, and they're actually detectable on radar. But if they're out of phase, they're much dimmer, and you can still see the distinctive star pattern from their galactic craft, but they're much, much dimmer. And they do that for their own protection because they don't want to be shot down by our military or by the reptilians. With that, I'd like to bring on my good friend, Carolyn White. If she's there, Erica, we can just wait a minute till we get her on board. She's a wonderful aura reader and a psychic, and she was at my recent Galactic Wisdom Conference, and she'll be also coming back again next year for my conference next year as well. I'll wait till Eric's able to get her on. This is the purpose of this conference that I hold every year is to raise consciousness and make this world a better place. And I sincerely hope that you'll all be able to attend next year's conference on April 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th, and 16th here in Olympia, Washington. The address where the conference will be held is 9101 Stillicum Road, Southeast in Olympia, Washington. If you want more information, we have a website dedicated to the conference at www.galacticwisdomconference.com. And also, too, if you miss this year's conference, I got inquiries from New York State, from Europe, and from Japan, and from Taiwan on getting the audio and video from the conference. We have the audio and some video, not video for everyone, but we have most of the audio for the entire conference. I'd be happy to send that to you for a small fee. If you're interested, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150@gmail.com, and I'll be happy to send it to you. Carolyn, are you there? Eric, were you able to get a hold of
me? I'm here. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to all of your wonderful, awesome listeners. And it's a beautiful day here in Olympia. The sun's shining, sky's clear, and lots of good energy.
Wonderful. And I want to tell everyone, too, there's something very special about this part of the Northwest. I'm told by my spirit friends, and I'd love to run this by you, Carolyn, that the area from Vancouver and Vancouver Island all the way south to Mount Shasta used to be part of Lemuria back in ancient times, about 12,500 years ago, when after a nuclear war started by the Atlanteans, part of Lemuria broke off and drifted off to the west coast. So this area today, from Mount Shasta north to Vancouver, beautiful Vancouver, Canada, and Vancouver Island, has a lot of really beautiful spiritual energy. And so when you travel in this area, it's a magnet to spiritual people, psychics, intuitive people, and a lot of very, very high vibrational people are here, as well as we have a lot of beautiful events that go on too. And I'm not saying, when I say that, I want to make it very clear, I'm not saying that there's not other parts of the world, of course, which also have beautiful places and high vibration, but this area in particular has a lot of beautiful Lemurian love energy to it.
Well, one of the things that I think a lot of times when we're talking about Lemuria, when we're talking about Atlantis, mainstream historians seem to peg them as being in one place. And the thing is that a lot of the early settlements and places that were, I mean, even in Egypt, there was the Golden Age. It was back about 36,000 years ago. It said different civilizations and different had different locations. It wasn't just like one country, isolated country. This is a paradigm that our modern historians have kind of put upon, imprinted upon what happened, you know, thousands of years ago. So there is, we have a lot of the energy here of those people that were part of Lemuria, were living in the Hawaiian Islands, or, and were living in areas now that are currently underwater. They were living here on the West Coast. So there is there was a migration. It's just that modern historians, the powers that were, that wanted to shape our thinking, that they want us to think that sort of we're at the top of the pinnacle, and actually that isn't the case. There are many civilizations that have existed before us, and they had a lot of wonderful technology. They also had a lot of spiritual energy, communicating via telepathy, and did a lot of healing with crystals and such. So it's interesting that you mentioned that. Anyway, that's I'd add that comment there to yours.
Well, thank you. Thank you so much, Carolyn, for saying that. One of the things that, and I'd love your input on this too, is that one of the things I learned from my trips to Peru recently is that there are so many civilizations down there that we know nothing about. They're doing archaeological digs in Peru now, for example, that unearth civilizations which are extremely advanced, and we have no idea where they came from or what they did or anything. And I think there's almost like a hidden history of the planet, Carolyn, that people have no idea that exists and what they were really about.
Oh, exactly. And a lot of it is, you're probably familiar with, even in the States here, there were a lot of cultures, the mound builders, and there were skeletons that were found that were giants.
Sure,
and
right.
Early on, when a lot of these discoveries were happening, and we have a very, towards the end of the 1800s, the Rockefellers, the Carnegies, were trying to solidify power and to control what we did, so of course they could make more money. And the Smithsonian Institute, which was I don't remember which family started it, but basically there were a lot of these bones of giants, were taken to the Smithsonian, and the Smithsonian said thank you very much and got rid of the evidence.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly right. That's exactly right. They, from a scientific viewpoint, that they had no right to do that. You know, they basically tried to get rid of our history, so it would fit within their own paradigm. Do you think they still have those skeletons there from these huge giants?
They, the last I heard of the research that, a lot of them were destroyed. How they found out about it, through notes, and some accountant or bean counter or something way back when categorized all the jobs that were done and recorded that on such and such a date that these bones had been destroyed to account for people's time and what they did. So I think that was one of the main reasons how they found out that these invaluable bones had been destroyed. I think there's still some of them that are around. They're in private collections, and there's also evidence in the Vatican Library and the Vatican Archives. They're still keeping a very you know, it's like a trophy. They're keeping a little bit of it and not wanting to really reveal it at this time. And I think, Ted, too, that that's all part of what we're talking about with disclosure. It's not just what the government's done with the secret space program, but it's also a lot of our history on this planet. And the powers that hopefully will be were instead of be are covering that up. I mean, we need to know our heritage. When we talk to the indigenous people on this planet. They, for instance, like the Hopi, they talk about the creation myths, and there were three other worlds besides ours right now. How these other three worlds, a lot of them lived underground. They talk about what they call the ant people, which, when they're describing it, it seems something like the small grays. I mean, if you look at it, they kind of look insect.
Right.
So there's a lot of these things that are people are really asking, and when the heritage, it's like the evidence is there before us. We've been taught to put down any culture that isn't, you know, isn't technological or Western. And that's the same thing we do with a lot, the society does with a lot of the healing that's available, energy healing that's available to people, that if it doesn't fit the paradigm of what the mainstream medicine says, well, then it's quackery.
Well, I think what I mentioned during the first part of my show was what Professor Pollack said during the conference. And I want to run this by you, Carolyn, because Professor Pollack said that, you know, if you think about it, there hasn't been any major scientific breakthroughs in the Western world since the atomic bomb in 1945 and the discovery of the double helix on the DNA structures by Francis and Crick, Cambridge University, in 1952. And that was, what, 60, 70 years ago?
Exactly.
And I think what they've done is that, sure, they come up with new cell phones and new cars, but undoubtedly, I think there's a whole section of scientific research that's hidden in this world and in the United States that people have no idea what they're doing. And I think it's about time that disclosure not only cover the secret space program and what we're doing out there in outer space, but also all of these fantastic technologies which could really benefit people here on this planet, including things like how-to vibrational treatments, all kinds of spiritual help for people. I mean, you think about it, and I can't believe that science has not advanced since World War II. I know it has, but we're not privy to any of those discoveries on this planet. Most of the people just don't know anything about it.
Well, exactly. I had, it was probably about 15 years ago, and I was talking to you about this last week. I had a case of, for a number of years, TMJ. Just very painful. That's in my jaw. By the way,
for my listeners out there they don't know what TMJ is. I've got it too sometimes. It's temporal mandibular joint problems, and it's where your jaw gets out of whack and you have pain in your muscles. So.
Thank you for saying it. I was thinking, now how can I say the full TMJ there? So anyway, I had was at a healing conference in Southern California, and a friend of mine that at the time had a crystal shop in Orange County, a friend of hers from New York, was visiting, and I started talking to her about my issues, and she says, well, I have this vibrational machine here that I'm working with, and she said I could never tell the doctor's name, and to this day I will not tell the doctor's name, but anyway, she says, I have this vibrational machine, and she said, remember when Joe Montana, the famous quarterback for the San Francisco 49ers, he was injured, I think it was 1989. I got hit in the back when they were playing the New York Giants. Had a just terrible back injury, was carried off, and the mainstream doctors were saying, oh, he's never going to play football again. Well, he did come back, and he played for the Kansas City Chiefs. Well, she told me this. Apparently, he had used this machine that this doctor had researched, which was not approved by the AMA, and did wonders with bones and muscles. And she said, if you don't tell anybody, because she knew I was cool about this stuff, she said, I will give you a treatment. And so we said, fine. And I did my treatment, and I noticed a little bit afterwards. And there, again, it was a vibrational that I had, like a almost like when an EKG is done, electrodes and pads in different parts of my body based upon my symptoms. Within 2 weeks, I had no more symptoms of TMJ, and I haven't had any since. And like you said, that was probably about 19 years ago.
Oh, that's fantastic.
So these are the types of things that these, not that they work for everybody, but these are the types of things that are out there now that if you step back and look at them, it's almost like they're miracles.
Yeah, absolutely. And yet, mainstream medicine in the United States and elsewhere forces you into using techniques which don't work out very well. For example, chemotherapy has a success rate of only 3% in cancer patients, which is kind of not the odds aren't the greatest. And I think it's time that people are able to try alternative health alternative methods, which would serve them, I think, much better than mainstream techniques.
Exactly, and you know, really, it's all about, as they say, follow the money. When you have a system that is so entrenched with a hierarchy of people that are getting money, it is really difficult to uproot that system. And how that happens, how any revolution happens, that it has to start with the individual, and then saying, when you know, if they look, I mean, there's a lot of things that we need to experience for our own karma, for our own lessons in this life. And I think that from what I've gotten recently from my guides is that a lot of people that are experiencing health challenges are now turning to more of the alternative treatments as a being witness to the fact that, yes, there are other things out there besides cutting, poisoning, and irradiating.
Well, let me tell you a little story that I heard when I was in Vancouver last night. Vancouver is a beautiful city. It's very, very high vibration. And I had just I was in the audience listening to my friend Tom Palladino, who's a wonderful energy healer. And one of his clients actually had been going to a doctor for medical care for many years, and she visited her doctor recently, and she told her doctor about the stuff that Tom Palladino does with the scalar energy healing. And the doctor said, well, if it works, then that would be bad for business, her business as a doctor. And so she fired her doctor shortly thereafter because the doctor – I'm not saying this about all doctors, but this particular physician was interested more in giving failed treatments to this particular client rather than curing her and getting her on the track to be fully well and healthy. It was better from a financial standpoint to treat only the symptoms of her illness rather than actually cure her. And the doctor herself was not interested in any cure or healing, more interested in just giving her medicines, keeping her on the dole, and siphoning as much money as she could from her. So anyway, I know that attitude exists out there, which is quite unfortunate, but it shows you that that we need to all stand up and open our minds up, because there's a lot of good things out there that people can do to improve their health. They don't have to sit and go with the old methods that don't work very well.
Oh, I agree with that. It's interesting that you mention that, because I've been going to homeopathic and naturopathic doctors for years. And the first homeopathic doctor that I saw was in San Francisco, and it was about 2023. So that's been a few years ago. And the first thing because I've had some health issues, and I just hadn't gotten any answers from mainstream medicine. And the first thing that the doctor told me, this homeopathic doctor, Dr. Leo Backer, and he said, I want to get you back healthy, so I don't have to see you anymore.
Wow.
And this, I had another doctor up in the Lower Mainland in British Columbia that saw for years and years. And the first time I saw him, he was a naturopath, and he said, well, my goal is that you are not dependent on me. And he basically said the same thing. This is that, you know, once we get you back on your feet, he says, I'd rather not see you, you know. So and I think that's a whole different, like, it's a paradigm when the naturopaths, the people that are, you know, yes, we have to all make a living. We need to make this this thing called money in this three-dimensional world. However, there's enough people out there that need to get, you know, to remember, to be helped, to be get back on that path of homeostasis. Mm-hmm. That the doctors really don't need to worry about the having enough patients. And I think that's the thing that always impressed me about going to naturopathic physicians and homeopathic is that they said, you know, we're not here to get you addicted to drugs. We're here to get you back so that you are connected with your full, healthy self. And we're here just as counselors that to, you know, help you get back on that path.
One thing I learned when I was up in Vancouver, Canada this week is that the Canadians there, they said our system, their Canadians health system, is not perfect because once you go into their system, sure, it's universal health care and that's good. However, they force you into traditional methods and it's very difficult to get acupuncture, to see a naturopathic doctor because they want you to go to the traditional MD route, which is okay for some things, but for many things, because they shut you off, they don't serve the clients very well. They force them into this traditional medicine model that doesn't try anything new. That's one criticism I heard of the system in Canada recently. And I think that if we have any reform at all in our system, we should open up to alternative healing alternative methods.
Well, it's interesting because I know in Washington State that naturopaths are well recognized, and some of the other states. They don't even recognize naturopaths or even osteopathic physicians. The medical system in British Columbia, up until I think the mid-90s, used to pay part of a naturopathic visit. They don't anymore. One of the things, because of the influx on the West Coast of the Oriental population, is they're more... acupuncture is, by some of the insurance companies at least, is recognized as a treatment as well as naturopath. So the insurances, depending on which insurance, will pay for the acupuncturist or the naturopath. But you're quite right about what's going on in, at least in British Columbia, each province has its own separate health ministry.
Yeah. Well, the big thing, too, in Canada is that they only spend 9% of their GDP on the military, whereas in the United States, we spend 57% of our GDP on the military. And when you have a budget that's almost two-thirds of our economy focused in on military weapons, nuclear weapons, there's not a lot of money left over for education, for health, for the environment, for new roads, for infrastructure. And so that's one reason why Canada has their standard of living is double that in the United States. And it's a simple matter of economics. When you have only so much money in a government budget and you're spending it as if we're still at war with the rest of the world, we don't have enough money for everything. And Canada is an example of a country that has made – it's not perfect, but they've made better choices, I think, in terms of health, education, welfare of their citizens.
Oh, exactly. And I know I've always said this semi-jokingly, but, you know, if I got run over by a car, my spleen is hanging out, yes, I'll go to the ER and get a talented surgeon to put me back together. And if I had anything like a, which I haven't had for a long time, a cold or sore throat, I'd go to the naturopath and and you know, pump my system up with vitamin C and echinacea, and it reinforced my immune system. So I think that both, you know, that different things, they do have their place. It's just that mainstream medicine needs to be more open to a lot of these alternatives, because really the thing with medicine, physicians, is do no harm.
Right, exactly.
I mean, Hippocratic oath, do no harm.
Yeah,
and so
that's right.
I think that is important to embrace that concept.
Oh, absolutely. I think on a positive note, things are changing, Carolyn, and all my listeners out there. Things are changing for the better. It's a slow process, but my guides tell me on the other side that within 5 years, 3 to 5 years, we're going to have a very different kind of planet, a much better one than we have today. We'll have free energy and also a lot of the kind of healing methods, alternative healing methods that we talk about now will become much more mainstream than they are now, because people will learn that they do work and people get real help from them.
Yes, and it's all about remembering that we are all powerful, sovereign beings. It is up to us. We are the change, each and every one of us. The savior that we've been looking for is us.
Is that's right. That's
you
right.
And me and everybody else. So it's our, you know, personal decisions, and it's that we can contribute to the collective consciousness and get these things going. So, you know, it's like I said to people, don't feed the fears. Don't buy into the fears. Put out there what you personally want to see in this world.
It's interesting you said that, because two entities just came in. The first is Winston Churchill, and he's saying to me now, this is my first time I've channeled Mr. Churchill, but he said, during World War II, we only have to fear itself. And he said that, of course, during the blitz by the Germans, by the Nazis over London, and they were able to fight them off and win. The second thing, Mahatma Gandhi has just come in, and he wanted me to share this famous quote: "Be the change that you wish to see in the world." And there's nothing to fear. They're both saying there's nothing to fear. We have a beautiful, bright future ahead of us. And but then the other thing too that President Kennedy has told me many times is that he tried to institute a beautiful new society from the top down during his administration, which of course didn't happen because he was assassinated. But now, because it's the destiny of this planet to become a far more loving planet and a happier place, those changes now are coming from everyone listening on this show in over 70 countries and over 160,000 listeners worldwide. We're all making those changes from the bottom up, not from the top down.
Oh, for sure. Exactly. And that is just the beautiful thing about it, is that it's just opening up, letting the light in, and letting our own light shine.
Right.
So,
exactly.
Oh,
exactly.
Yes. Just wanted to mention here, because we're getting close to the top of the hour.
Right. Got a minute and a half left.
We're going to be out at Tolkien Inn.
Oh, yes, of course. I mentioned
the
that.
31st of March.
30th and 31st. That's right.
And we're going to be doing your show out there on the 30th.
On the 30th? That's right. We're bringing in the ancient Indian spirits, Native American spirits there as well. It'll be a wine and spirits program. The wine is free, and if you stay at the hotel on the 30th, the cost is only $35 for the night. And it's a beautiful place in Tolkien, Washington. It's about an hour and 20 minutes, 15 minutes from Olympia. And if you're interested in coming, please send me an email to outofthisworld1150 @gmail.com, or you can call Catherine at the Tolkien Hotel for a reservation at area code 206-755-8515. And Carolyn and Jerry White will be there as well, and we'll be talking. You can be part of my radio show, our radio show on Friday, 30th of March, and also talk to the spirits as well.
Well, we're going to have spirits and spirits out there, One of the things about the Tolkien Inn in that area, it's a very sacred area there.
Right.
There's a lot of energy, and some people say that the Tolkien Inn, there's some resident ghosts there, and you know, there's resident spirits around there. They're all very, very friendly, and you know, the thing is that if you just ask them what they're doing there and how's things going, and you might get an answer from them. It's a beautiful area, so I encourage everybody to come out, because Ted, you'll be there with your book and doing readings, and Jerry and I are going to be doing aura readings, and I may even bring the tarot cards and do some readings myself. And Michiko Hayashi will be there.
She'll be giving a presentation on, the Modal Peace Project. But unfortunately, now we've run out of time. Carolyn, thank you so much for coming on today, my friend. And please stay tuned for my next hour. We'll be interviewing Dr. Helena Steiner on her beautiful new book on the white light.